Well, we talked last week about we are nothing without Christ. Anybody happen to remember that message? We talked about He is the vine and we are the branches. And we don't have any power without being connected to the source. We talked about being plugged in. We talked about the remotes don't reach if we're not in direct connection with the source of that. And we're going to kind of talk about that a little bit more. Our source, our power, our strength, our life, all comes through Christ Jesus. And it says God is the vine dresser. And we talked about being pruned, and we think, why are we going through some different things in life if we're good Christian people? And it told us, yes, we're being pruned. Why do I have to be pruned? It says, if you're bearing fruit, we're going to prune you. Why? So you make more fruit. He wants us to be more fruitful than we already are. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 10. And then give me 5 minutes till I get there. Okay, but Luke chapter 10, and I'll get to that in just a minute as we go through some stuff to get us there. If we don't understand the relationship between the vine and being connected to that vine, we're in trouble right out of the gate. We have to understand where we fall in that. We are the branches of the vine, but we have to be connected. And we can't say, well, I talk to God every once in a while. Whenever there's a crisis, I call out to Him. Hey, do you acknowledge Him the rest of the time? Do you give Him praise and thanksgiving for the good stuff? Or only call on Him when the bad stuff happens? So we have to stay connected to the source, and we have to understand that relationship. Does Christ just give us life, or does He give us life with power? Does He just give us life or life with power? Today's message is living in the power. We sang some amazing songs this morning and talked about where we are with Christ. And man, we are part of Him. We are His children. We're a child of God. And He doesn't just say, I've come to give you life and give you life more abundantly. But that abundant life comes with power. Do you believe that today? Look at your neighbor and say, it comes with power. All right. Start living in the power. Tell your neighbor that. Start living in the power. We've got to tell each other that. We've got to tell ourselves that. We have to start living in the power. I don't want us just talking about it. I want us living it and living it out. With that in mind, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will. My Lord, you'd think there were 100 people in here. I love that. I love that. Believe in Him, but also believe in you. Let me say that again. Believe in Him, but also believe in you. Let me ask you, church, do you believe? Lord, help their unbelief. Just like the centurion, you know. Yes, I believe. Lord, help my unbelief. Where you struggle to believe in Him and or struggle to believe in yourself, Lord, help them with their unbelief. We have to believe that, and we have to know who we are in Christ. You know, I'm going to read something. You guys don't turn, just stay with Luke chapter 10. And in Ephesians, Eric, I did the same thing you did. I didn't mark my Bible. What was I thinking? In Ephesians, but I'm there. It talks about living in the power. And I want to read something out of Ephesians real quick. Just listen to this and pretend like I'm just talking to you and not reading it out of a book. And I pray that the eyes of your understanding are opened and enlightened, that you may know who is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us. Us who? Us who believe. According to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Church, that's a lot of power. That's a lot of power. He raised Him from the dead. And after that, He seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. He has given the same power to us that he used to raise his son from the dead. That's a lot of power he's given us. And we have to accept that. We have to acknowledge that. Church, we have to believe that. We've got power in our hands just waiting for us. And I picture Paul writing this, and he's writing, he says, the church, but he's talking about the church universal, the churches, not one specific church. And I just picture him kind of scratching his head going, man, these people have this great power, they have great authority, and they're just sitting there, twiddling their thumbs or wringing their hands, going, oh Lord, what do we do? What do we do? And the power's already in us. The same power used to raise his son. That same power. Why did he give it to us? We read about that earlier. Because we're child of God. Because we are his children. He said, this same power, I am giving it to you. And you have to grab hold and take it. But you've got to use it with great responsibility and great authority. We read a couple weeks ago from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. It says, therefore I remind you, the Bible says that. Why? Because we tend to forget. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Who could use some stirring up today in their gifts? I could use some. For God has not, let me make that clear in case I'm not coming through. God has not given us, that means us, all of us, a spirit of fear. Remember that a couple weeks ago? He has not given us a spirit of fear. Us, again, all of us. But of what? A power. And of love and of a sound mind. Some of you are messing it up for the rest of us. Okay? He gave us a spirit of power. He did not give us a spirit of fear. And you're living your life in fear and you're messing it up for the rest of us. And you're making us look bad. Oh my Lord, that Christian is living in fear. Remember, he said us. You three young men on the back row there, Tim, if you'll duck, I know you want to be counted in there. I'm just kidding. You three men on the back row. That includes you. Young folks back there, that includes you. Young adults that are more and more present in this church body, by the way. That includes you all. And then I'll just say the rest of us. That includes us. He's given us that spirit of power and not of fear. So don't mess it up for the rest of us. And don't give us a bad reputation. Now, I told you about 5 minutes, I'll get into Luke. Luke chapter 10, I better get there. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. And it says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And then he said to them, now I find it interesting before I read what he said to them, several verses before that in Luke chapter 9, he talks about the cost of discipleship. And he's got 70 now and he's sending them out. He says, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. That's his way of saying, be careful. Be careful when we go out and want to share the gospel. Because he's sending us out as lambs among the wolves. Verse 4, he says, carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Now remember that, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, again he says, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Now, I don't know about you, but if someone's come and shared something with me and they say, the kingdom of God has come near to you, man, I want to seize that. I want to know that rather than say, oops, I missed the opportunity. I missed the experience. Did you recognize that? The kingdom of God was near you. Oh, sorry, I didn't see it. I didn't recognize it. They didn't tell me. They didn't warn me. I didn't know what to look for. Look in the Word of God, first of all, and find out what we need to look for. Recognize Him. The older I get, Eric, I think about your Santa Claus visit to our house. I've said it many times. My youngest son over there looked up at Santa and he stared in his eyes intently as Santa was talking to him and asking him if he'd been good. And he left. He said, he looked like Santa. But as I looked at his face and his eyes, it looked like Eric. And I thought, how would he know that? Because he spent time with him. They've spent a lot of time together. And I'm telling you, when we do that with our Savior, we recognize those times. And when someone says, the kingdom of God was near, you say, I know, I recognized it. And I seized the moment and the opportunity, and I took advantage of it. And was blessed because of it. Rather than, I didn't know what it looked like. Eric came to visit. I didn't know. I didn't recognize him. It becomes more powerful. Of course, I couldn't figure out that lesson on my own. Let me just be upfront about that. Eric pointed that out to me. How did Eric know? He spent more time in the presence of God recognizing those moments as well, so he could explain that and share it with me. It's profound. So the older I get, the more important I think we've got to spend time so we recognize him. Christ Jesus, not Eric necessarily. We've got to recognize Christ when he comes across our life. Bless you. Then we move over to verse 17. And it says, then the 70 returned with joy. Man, I love when disciples come back with joy. Adam, we went out to disciple. It's a nightmare. Nobody said that. I'm just saying, could you imagine if all 70 came back and it was like, oh, woe is me. But it says they came back with joy. And they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Man, we were out there and we had some power when we were on the road. Even over demons. And Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of who? The enemy. wow, that's a lot. I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. I'd probably be the first one doing a song and dance going, ooh, he's giving me authority and power, woohoo. Hey, Adam, calm it down a little bit. Don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. You see, it's not about that. But he says, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Man, he's given us power over the authority. Do not live in fear. Why? Because he has not given us the spirit of fear. He has given us authority and power over the enemy. And we have to know that and believe that. Does that mean that God isn't going to come and prune us? No. But we have to understand, is God pruning me? Or did I fall victim of the enemy and his scheme against me in my walk with Christ? I'm trying to become more intimate with Christ. Oh, I had a problem. Oh, I knew it wouldn't work. That's the enemy. I'm walking with Christ. Oh, this happened. Whew. I sure like that branch. And I sure like the fruit. But he said, I got to cut it back a little bit. But when I do, you can't see it yet. Half our problem. We can't see it yet, so it's not going to happen. He says, but you're going to bear even more fruit. Why? So that they'll know you're my disciple. And because my word says so. And we have to know that and read that and believe that. But the greater joy isn't over doing that dance. Woohoo, I've got authority and power over the enemy. Ooh, can I make my list and say who my enemies are? No. He says, it's not about that. I give you that, and that's something definitely to know and acknowledge. But man, don't rejoice over that part. The greater joy should be your life. And the life promised by having your name written in heaven. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, I would think when we have our names written in heaven, we'd say, man, I want to be sure that I'm living my life properly and right. But part of that says, am I living it by knowing all the truth? What do you mean? The truth is, he's given you power and authority over the enemy, and he's given you power and authority over fear. Well, I just don't know what tomorrow will bring. I bet you if I said it brings $1 million, you'd all be excited about tomorrow. But if I said it's going to bring some pruning, but a year from now, 5 years from now, ask Job about pruning. Oh, by the way, I'm pruning and pruning and pruning that poor little tree. And I'm sure at one point Job thought, are there any branches left but me? And the Lord blessed him even more. And he became more fruitful. We want our names written in heaven. Now it says also in verse 21, it says, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. And he said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Well, that's an interesting statement, isn't it? Man, I'm thankful, Father. This is Jesus talking. I'm thankful, Father, that you didn't tell those people that know everything. You told the babes. It says, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Then when he turned to his disciples and he said privately to them, he said, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see, yet they have not seen it. And they desire to hear what you hear, but they have not heard it. And these are the disciples that return back again with great joy. As Christ followers, we may think, I just want to lead a simple life. You can lead a simple life. But you can lead a simple life with power and authority over the unknown. We should not be Christ followers and say, oh my Lord, I'm nothing. I have nothing. I know nothing. We shouldn't think, oh, poor pitiful me. Again, if we're living that way, we're giving the other Christians a bad rep. A reputation, bad rap and a bad reputation. Because people see that and think, oh, they're a Christian. They seem so miserable. We want to walk in a room and someone says, hey, how you doing? Man, I'm doing great. You say, man, I'm struggling a little bit. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying you can't be honest about those things. But man, when you walk in with some authority at least and some power and at least be able to talk about it. But also be able to talk about your testimony. How are you going to get through this? Oh my gosh, I can't imagine. Well, let me tell you. It hurts now, but man, my Christ Jesus, my Savior. You see, I got to know Him. And I started this intimate relationship with Him. And through that, He brought healing. He brought other people into my life that I never expected. He brought fellowship. He brought awakening to my soul. You see, we've got to follow up with our testimony as well. And part of living in the power is being able to give people our testimony. We've got to quit thinking our testimony is a private thing, not to be shared with anyone. It is very much public when you are a Christ follower. And it is to be told to others. Why? So they can understand what we've been through. They can understand, oh my gosh, other people have been through that stuff. It's not just me. I love my friendship with Pastor Eric. And in the message, just over the years, Eric, man, I'd be an Eric day, I don't know. But as I'm just sitting here, the message, and you shared it down in Guatemala. You said, broken crayons still color. Man, anybody feel like a broken crayon every now and then? Yeah, we can still color and we can do beautiful artwork. Don't think because we're broken, that's the same as being damaged and unusable in the kingdom of God. Live through the power. Now here's an issue we face. I mentioned it a little earlier. Do we really believe that we have that much power? I won't ask you to raise hands, but if I were to ask, probably a couple people would say, yeah, I believe that. And the rest would be like, I don't have that kind of power. I'm not a pastor. I'm not one of those televangelists. I don't have the power. Not what I ask. Do you have as much power as a televangelist? No, some of you probably have a lot more. But do you believe that you have the power that He promises? And until we cross that barrier, oh, we're always going to live in a little state of weakness, probably a little state of fear, because that power's over there. And you see, I don't have a master's in divinity.
got my MDiv. I've got a PhD.
I got book smart, and I've read that Bible 10 times over, and I know what my God promises. I've got the power. That's what I'm talking about. I didn't ask if you have all these degrees or these processes or you teach Bible. It's not what I ask. Simply, do you believe what God's Word says? And do you believe that you live with that same power and authority? We have to start believing. The centurion, man, my child is sick. Yo, your child's well. Do you believe? I believe. But he still felt it important enough to say, Lord, help my unbelief. Wherever I'm struggling, God, man, could you help me in that area? I believe I have the power. I just don't know when to use it, and I don't know if I can use it. I don't know if it'll work. God, I tried it one time. I don't think it worked. Oh, you mean like prayer? I asked God for a chocolate bar, and he didn't give it to me. I guess prayer doesn't work. No. When we ask and we pray for these things, God always answers, first of all. We've got to know that. And sometimes the answer is, yes, I hear your prayer. I will answer it, and I will take care of that prayer. Well, he always takes care of it, but he says, I will give you the yes answer you're asking for. And then other times it's no. Now, if we have a repeat issue, it may be yes, 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 no. But he always has a plan for when he says yes and no. And he always knows it. Lord, I can't see the portrait that you're painting. Could you just finish it? So I know what it's supposed to look like. Knock some diamonds out of that ring. Oops, sorry. We always want the answer now. We have to learn to be patient, but we have to learn to live in power and authority. Satan is always there making us feel like, that. Well, there's the power, I'm going for it. And then Satan does something or answers no. No chocolate bar. Oh, Satan, no. You know, did you ask in God's will? Also says pray in my will. Okay, or did we pray in our stomach or our, you know, our fleshly desires? But the enemy is standing there waiting. And the enemy is waiting to say, you can't do this. Satan doesn't want us knowing or using any of that power or authority. Why? Because it undoes his efforts. He works very hard. And I think he's like the drug cartel. Man, they've got this whole system worked out to defy people and to work around people so they can't see what's happening and they can't discover it. Satan's the same way. And when we start walking and talking and living in power and authority, he says, you're messing up my work. We're the DEA agents. We've got to infiltrate this business and learn how to tear it down. And undo it. And we do that by getting in this thing. You can't do it without it. I heard a couple messages on TV, the radio. I went to some churches, heard some great stuff. That's great. Good for you. I'm glad you remember those things. There's a lot more promises than you heard on radio and TV and a couple church visits. And we have to learn that. And then we have to find, how do I get from unbelief to believe? How do I transition between the two? Well, if we've got to walk in victory, we've got to defeat the enemy. Amen? And that enemy doesn't want us walking in victory. They're trying to trip us every chance he gets. We have to start talking and walking and operating in power and authority. You know, as Paul wrote that earlier thing that I read, as he wrote the scripture that I read, I'm thinking he's in prison and he's writing these letters from prison. But when he was in prison, he had authority, and he stood on that authority. And he stood on that power and said, I'm going to do this. And if we've got to defeat fear, we've got to have power. And we've got to have authority, and we have to have boldness, right? Our band's going to come up here now. That's your key. As our band comes up here now, we're going to sing a song. You guys have sung it before. It's called Break Every Chain. And I want us to think about this. Some of us, remember, us are the ones that have been given authority and power. But some of us, who I was joking, but said, you give us a bad name. Because you're not living in power and authority. And we have ourselves in a prison cell. And it's time for us to break out of that prison cell. It's time for us to get off our deathbed. The lame man on the mat. It's time for us to get up and carry our mat off. We've got to get ourselves out of darkness. I once was blind, now I see. We've got to see the light and get out of that darkness. We've got to let the sick be healed. We have to speak healing in our own body. But we have to use our power and authority given to us. Awake, awake, Zion. Clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments of splendor, Jerusalem, the holy city. The uncircumcised and defiled will not enter you again. Shake off your dust, rise up, rise up. Sit enthroned, Jerusalem. Free yourself from the chains on your neck, daughter of Zion, now a captain. It's very clear what he wrote in that scripture, that we are to rise up and break every chain that the enemy has put on us. Amen.